Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here. Getaway Friday, November 21st, 2025, 11:21:25, 13 and a half minutes past the hour, and Matt is here on time this morning. Now, jury's out on if he's awake or not. I don't know. We've had a little conversation here in the 5 to 7 minutes that he's been here, and I don't know. Could be awake, maybe not.
I think it'll be all right.
You always think it'll be okay. But see, you know what? I have figured out what that's all about when you say it's going to be all right. Now, see, for you, but the other people, it probably will not be okay for. But for you, it's okay.
Well, I mean, there's not much.
You probably haven't woken up yet. You're still in bed somewhere.
Well, there's not much I can really do about it at this point in time other than like, give it, like, you know, 30 minutes.
Give it, like, 30 minutes. We'll see how that goes. I do want to let her, you know, I got this thing from the post office yesterday. You know, they do this every year at the holiday time. It says, helping you deliver joy since 1775. And on one side of this big postcard, there is a modern day picture of somebody delivering a package to a family, and it's in color and the Christmas tree's up and all of that. And then there's a picture of a woman. I don't know what year this is. It's back when the post people used to wear kind of like the bowler hats, and it's in black and white, and he's delivering a letter to her, and it says USPS 250 years. Isn't that nice? So this is what it says. Now, these are the dates to remember for all you holiday shoppers. One service, all your holiday needs. USPS has spent 250 years delivering holiday joy, which is why we have the stamps and services you need to send your loved ones ready this season and next. Now, here are the recommendations for ship-by dates to ensure your gifts will arrive by Christmas. USPS Ground Advantage Service, make sure they're mailed out by December 17th. USPS Priority Mail Service, make sure they're mailed out by December the 18th. And USPS Priority Mail Express Services, make sure they're mailed out by December the 20th. So those are the dates that are important, 250 years of the post office. So that's how that goes, and that came in the mail yesterday. Now, big events yesterday here in Marion, a lot of fun events. We had, yesterday I was in, the event I couldn't talk about yesterday was I was invited to a tailgate at Primrose, an Ohio State tailgate. They brought in Buckeye Guy, he was there, and Mary Ellen, of course, was there, and I interviewed Buckeye Guy and Mary Ellen in front of a group of people. Residents of Primrose and people from the outside. There was a great crowd there yesterday, and they had really some kind of a tailgate going on. They had decorations, they had pizza, they had this very good dip with vegetable trays and cheese trays and soups and wings and weenies and beans and anything you could ask for they had yesterday there at Primrose. It was a lot of fun. First class event, interviewed Buckeye Guy, had a lot of fun, so that was a lot of fun. And then last night, the community room at Harding High School is now known as the Mary Ellen Withrow Community Room. The signage is up, it's outside the door, there's a picture inside of Mary Ellen, there's a plaque now in place. There's signage in the room that says it's the Mary Ellen Withrow Community Room. She was there last night with two of her daughters. She gave a little speech. Superintendent Brian Murphy spoke. The school board spoke. I got up and spoke last night and read a proclamation from Governor DeWine and Lieutenant Governor Tressel, who had sent along a proclamation for Mary Ellen. The letter from Bill Clinton that he sent for Mary Ellen's birthday actually came in, and I was able to give that to her last night. So it was a great night. Everybody had a lot of fun, and then we all went out and had dinner last night at Red Lobster, which I learned when we went out and had dinner last night with Mary Ellen when it was over that Matt had never been to Red Lobster. So there you go. There's the rundown of events yesterday. It was a lot of fun. What are your memories of the event, Matt?
Well, I was just sending you the videos. For some reason, they didn't send them the first time. But, no, the event was well. I mean, you know, it was the start of the school board, so that was nice. They gave her a plaque. She removed it.
Yanked down the cover that was on the plaque.
She was a big fan. Even like as soon as she like turned away from, she said, "Oh, I gotta say something about that."
Yeah, it's a nice plaque.
It is. It's nice.
Says a lot of very nice things, and it was just. Can you read the plaque? Do you have a picture where you can see what the plaque says? It's a very well written plaque, and I'll tell you, my Cubs cap is off to Superintendent Brian Murphy and the school board for putting that up there. Because it's a plaque that really encapsulizes Mary Ellen's career, which is very nice. And it's getting a lot of play on our social media page this morning. I think we've got more responses to that event last night, which has only been up for 12 hours, than the entire city council stories from earlier in the week. So here we go. Here's what the plaque says.
All right, I'm going to try to read it from a paused video. A treasurer of the United States, 1994 to 2001, Mary Ellen Withrow, a native of Marion, Ohio, made history as one of the longest-serving treasurers of the United States. She is the only person to serve in government at the local, state, and national levels, and was first elected. And was the first elected female Marion County treasurer. Mary Ellen introduced the state quarter program, redesigned U.S. currency, established the linked deposit program, and holds a place in the Guinness Book of World Records for signing more currency than anyone in America. Her guiding words reflect her philosophy. Yesterday is a cancel check, tomorrow is a promissory note, and today is cash. This room is dedicated in her honor, celebrating her leadership, legacy, and the inspiration she provides to our community and future generations.
What a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it gives you a lot of information there.
And one of the great things last night, one of the school board members said, I believe it was Kathy Swanger, there's a big word on the back wall that says inspire. And there were a lot of people at that school board meeting last night. I'm not sure what issue was going on at the school board last night, but there were a lot of people there. It was standing room only. And Kathy said, I want all the students to look back at that word inspire and understand what Mary Ellen accomplished as a graduate of Harding High School, and that she is the living example of what that means. You know, and I think that's true. I've always said that if you are a Harding High School student and you want to achieve the highest level in your field, she's the example. Because she, as a Harding High School student, was able to do that. So that's a very nice thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, it's not often that you have an example to point to from your school who made it so far.
No, and I don't think that's a common thing. And I also think, I said last night during my remarks, I thought it was very ironic in a very good way that this was happening at a school board meeting in a school when her career started on the school board in 1969. So, kind of like coming home.
Yeah. Apropos.
Very, very nice. And she yanked down that cloth, and there it was. So go visit the Mary Ellen Withrow Community Room forever at Marion Harding High School now.
Oh, by the way, it's not just the plaque. They put in big, bold black letters on, like, the, I don't know, like, the ledge of the ceiling there, Mary Ellen Withrow Room. And also when you walk in from the outside, there's a sign above the door that says Mary Ellen Withrow Room now.
And there's a nice picture of her in there.
Yes, there is.
So it's all very nice. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I think sometimes people forget, as I said, as time goes along, people forget what she did accomplish and how important it was. And I'm not sure they will now. Awards are nice, but something like this is there forever. And there will be thousands and thousands of kids who will walk by that picture and that plaque and understand who this was long after we're all gone. And that's a nice thing.
Well, awards, I guess, really only serve you. I mean, I guess this is an award in some kind of way, I suppose. But, I mean, it serves, the students of Harding as well.
And I think she was very pleased with it last night.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So let's take the phone call here, and then we'll come back to this. All right, go ahead, caller.
Love your city.
Yes.
We were talking about the post office earlier.
Yes, we were.
You know, I think Marion might possibly be in good company with the post office.
Why is that?
Well, the U.S. Postal Service has over $130 billion in unfunded liabilities.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, well, we are having some financial troubles here in Marion. We found out this week.
So, you know, I think it's going to be a trend. We'll probably find other cities, probably much larger than Marion, on the verge of default. But it's interesting, the breakdown of the financial obligations. I think there's about $70 billion in unfunded liabilities and retiree health benefits. And it's a significantly underfunded. and then the pensions are approximately $50 billion in unfunded pension liabilities. But the Postal Service borrowed $10 billion from the U.S. Treasury to help cover some of the obligations that it had. So, and according to this, they've lost more than $100 billion since 2007. So.
Yes, but you know, any time they say they are going to get rid of Saturday delivery or they are going to cut back in some way.
They have.
They've made that announcement. And every time they make the announcement, people pick it like there's no tomorrow. They scream and they yell and they say you can't do that and they go back on it.
Well, just because a child screams and wants candy, do you always give them candy?
Well, I think if people are going to stop using the post office and put you out of business, yeah, you give them the candy.
Oh, jeez. Well, the sad fact of the matter is they need to stop. They need to do whatever. But they're losing a lot to email, etc. And, you know, they need to turn it around. This is just really, if they can't show any signs of digging out of the hole, we in a heap big of trouble.
Well, I don't think the post office is the biggest drain on the federal government right now.
Probably not.
I think there's going to have to be a lot of groups that would have to go and be cut long before the post office.
Congress in and of itself, and you know, some of these entitlements and things. I don't think
it's the entitlement. I think the biggest amount of money the federal government spends is on the military.
Almost $1 trillion, actually.
You know, I can't believe. Why can't people?
You know, as a matter of fact, I think the United States spends more on the military than the next 10 countries combined spend on military.
I don't think it's going to hamstring the military if they took a 15% budget cut, but. Why can't people in these places, their arguments are based on fear of missing out. Why can't they live within a budget and say, look, this is your budget for the next 5 years, etc. Make do with it.
Well, as a matter of fact, I think if you just cut a very small amount out of the military budget, you could pretty well fund every other program that they claim sends the budget into deficit.
Well, I don't see how. Again, I don't see how it could hamstring the military, our defense, and everything if you took 15% out of that budget. So, I don't know. Just my opinion. I could be wrong, but hey, to a better tomorrow.
There we go. All right, man. Well, we've got through the fun stuff this morning. And by the way, if anybody has an opinion, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. Getaway Friday. Next Friday will be the busiest shopping day of the year. Now, I really don't know if it is anymore, but that's what it was always called, the day after Thanksgiving. 6 days until Thanksgiving, and I can tell you people are out buying their turkeys. It was a busy day at the grocery store yesterday. But, Matt, we haven't had you in studio since Monday night's Big City Council.
Hit it on the head, by the way.
What?
Well, kind of. I mean, the next 10 countries spend a combined total of $1.3 trillion. We spend $997 billion.
There you go.
Well, I'm telling you, cut about $300 billion off that. We'd be doing
pretty
well.
Were you fact-checking me as if I didn't know these things?
Well, no. It's because I actually think, because I did the same thing one time, and I think it's because... I mean, $1 trillion is an absurd amount of money to spend on the military.
And I think, by the way, 5 or 6 of those countries are our friends.
I'd have to look at them.
They're all not enemy countries.
Well, I mean, I think
the United States.
The only two up there that I know we have any serious problem with are China and Russia.
So there you go.
Besides that, I mean, you know.
But that's the military. That's national stuff. But all week we've been talking here this week about Marion, Ohio, and what happened at Monday night's city council meeting. Now, it might not have been the most flashy meeting. People weren't screaming at each other or anything like has happened in the past. But maybe the most significant meeting as far as city finances go, and that's really what runs the government here in Marion. You were there for the entire meeting. What have you made of what happened Monday night?
Well, they wanted to well, we learned that they're still getting the economic development director. That's going to happen.
Maybe.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess the state could always come in and say no, but I mean, as of currently, it's in the budget.
But the budget cannot go through as it is. So I don't know if it'll be there in the end or not.
I mean, yeah, I guess. I mean, it's a rough-looking budget. I mean, you have $14 million in revenue and like, I don't know, 19-point-something in expenses. I mean, the math doesn't math there.
Yeah, but the problem is, as I've said, to say mayors have put together budgets that are well over the revenue before, that's not uncommon. That has happened. But that's where you take your carryover money and you make up the difference,
yeah,
or your investments. The problem here is, and maybe people don't understand this, that the investments are just about gone. And we're talking in the course of 2 years.
Down to like $5 million, I think.
Well, we don't even know if that's right. It could be less than that. So the problem is that when Schertzer left office in December of 23... we do know there was nearly $17 million in investments and carryover. And that's how Schertzer made up some of... I believe he did have a few balanced budgets, but that's how he made up the difference from time to time in his budgets. Now, I don't believe he had big budgets. There weren't big... I don't think there were $5 million differences. Somebody will have to check me on that. Between revenue... Or I guess about $6 million... between revenue and budget. But if he had $1 million, $1.5 million, he could make it up out of the rainy day fund, or whatever you want to call it, which had $17 million in it. Somewhere along the way, $12 million of that has disappeared in 2 years. Now, how does that happen?
I mean, I don't know what all they've done, but I mean, I know they,
Not only, apparently, has the budget been more than the revenues that the city's producing, but the rainy day fund, the investment fund, the carryover fund has been depleted.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure what they've used it for, but I mean, I don't know what fund they've used to do these things, but I mean, I know that, I mean, you know, there's obviously the Love Your City stickers and whatnot around the city. They did the bus wraps. They have, they made the grant writer position, but I don't think that was necessarily a bad position. She's brought in a lot of money. They're creating the economic development director. They refurbished, reopened the rec center, however you want to put that. They're going to redo the roof on the rec center. They did have to get new, it was either an ambulance or a fire truck, maybe both, I don't remember. So they paid for those.
Yeah, but I still don't think that adds up.
Well, I mean, I don't know how much all that cost, but I mean, that's a lot of money.
Well, here we go. We got 6 weeks until the beginning of the year. So where are you cutting this $5 million?
Well, I don't know where the money in the city's at. I haven't really looked at the budget.
No, but you know basically what it is. What department are you going to cut? You've got to cut something.
Well, I don't know that I'd cut an entire department. I'd probably start trimming down things first and see what we can get.
I don't know if you're going to trim $5 million. I don't know.
I mean, you could trim $5 million. That's the big trims, but I mean, it's a trim nonetheless, I guess.
A lot of these departments do not have a lot of employees to begin with.
Well, I mean, they're not filling people who are leaving, you know, just via attrition at this point.
Three people.
Well, and some police and firemen.
Yeah, but that's already out of the budget.
And the transit people.
But again, that's already out of the... He said Monday that that's not figured into the new budget anyway.
Oh, yeah. That was said. I mean, I don't know. I mean, transit, you get rid of transit. I mean, it's unfortunate. I wouldn't, like, axe transit. I don't know. There's nothing really, I mean, like, you're going to have to do something about services.
Well, I don't know if it's service. I don't know. I there are a lot of positions that could probably go.
I mean, you could always get rid of either the safety or the service director and put it into one position again.
Well, I'm not exactly sure what the budget director does at this point. So that's a big pricey position.
Yeah.
I certainly think not bringing in the economic development position at this time may be a good idea.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you're still not even talking $1 million yet.
No, but you got to start somewhere.
I guess.
I mean, where do you want to end up? Police and fire? Because those are the big departments.
I mean, you might have to end up at the police and fire at some point or another.
Well, that will anger people more than anything. And considering we now know, as of Monday night, that there are less police officers on the beat. There are less firefighters on the force now than there were at the beginning of the year. And I'll tell you, as I've said all... What?
Is it only about two of each?
No, that's not right. See, you've said that before. That's not what he said. What was said, they used those words, that this is what we can operate at, and this is where we think we are.
He said we're budgeted for 63. Right now, we're at
budgeted 61. For 63, and we're at 61. But where were we at the beginning of the year?
Well, I mean, if you're budgeted for 63, I'd assume you're at 63.
Yep, you assume, and you know what happens when you assume. I'm not sure that's right. I'm not sure. Now, maybe if he proves that, we'll see that.
Okay, well, I mean, then in that case, we didn't lose anybody. I mean...
Oh, no, we lost people. That was admitted.
Okay.
So why didn't somebody just say, we've lost this many? We never got to that point.
I mean, I don't know.
Because when the question was asked, they went into that whole, we're budgeted for. They would not give an exact number.
Well, I'm just trying. I mean, if you're budgeted for 63, and you've had people leave, and now you're down to 61.
But did you have 63?
If you're budgeted for 63, how are you going over 63? You can't pay them. You don't have the budget for it.
Well, you know what? I don't know about that, because the lady who works down in security at City Hall, we learned when that whole kerfluffle was going on in the midst of the year, that was going to be paid out of the police money. And I'm not exactly sure how that happened, but there's another pickup of somebody. Apparently, they weren't budgeted for that at the beginning of the year.
I'm sure they added it to the budget at some point.
Okay. She's still there.
I understand, but she's not, like...
The point, this is one of those things that has no significance at all. The point is, less police officers on the street now than there were in the beginning of the year. Less firefighters on the job than there were at the beginning of the year. And why is that significant? Well, number one, it's significant because nobody said anything about it. It had to come out through questioning. And number two, why wouldn't you say anything about it? And also, the fire station being on delay, that was never told to anybody. That had to come out through questioning. Why? Why? Nobody on city council knew any of that. Nobody knew that there were less police officers. Nobody knew there were less firefighters. Nobody knew the fire station was on hold. No city council member, to my knowledge, knew any of those things. How's that possible?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, does the fire, or I don't know, do the police and fire make, like, reports to this, to the city about, like, their staffing issues and things? Like, I don't know how any of that works. And I mean,
by the way, there are 11 lieutenants out of 61 officers. So again, figure that in.
What do you mean? Like 11?
11 lieutenants. So now what do we got? 50?
Yeah,
50. Okay, 50. Well, that's not 60.
Well, I mean,
that's how it was couched on Monday.
It's still, but you still have 61 officers.
But are they on the street?
Why couldn't you put a lieutenant on the street? I don't see why not.
Are they?
I don't know. I'm not at the police and
fire. That's what I'm saying. You have to pay attention to these things. But again, that's not the big point here. The point is, why does city council not know any of this?
Did they ask?
They are the purse strings. Well, they have to pass the budget.
Well, when they asked, they were given answers.
So you don't think the mayor, it was his obligation to tell them this stuff?
I mean, as far as, like, I think the pausing of the fire station, I think that should have been made known, I guess, because there's a levy paying for that, or supposed to be.
So your theory is there should be no transparency in government, as police officer positions are not filled and will not be filled, as firefighter positions are not filled and will not be filled. Nobody should know about this. You should just keep that under your hat, and if anybody knows to ask you about that, then you should say something.
I mean, I don't know. Like, apparently it never came up.
Never came up.
When they were asked, they answered.
So you don't think that a mayor of a city who knows this information should go to the city council and say, you know, things are getting rough around here. We're going to have less firefighters and police officers. We already do. And we're not going to fill these positions because we don't have the money to do it as you're trying to sell an economic development position.
I mean,
how would you know how to ask that question? What would?
Well, you know the city's finances are up, and then obviously, I mean, how did Aaron know to ask the question? Because the city's finances were up. She was like, well, there were, you know, and then he
Aaron knew to ask the question because it got into that field. It went into that field because Ayers said, I have been saying there are going to be layoffs next year, and I believe he said it's going to be police and fire, so Aaron said to the mayor, have we lost this? And that's where it came from.
He said that we weren't replacing positions via attrition. I guess he didn't specifically state which positions.
I don't care which positions. What I'm saying is,
what do you mean? Then why does it matter if he did or didn't say that we were losing cops? Because you don't care what positions. Those are also positions.
Okay, don't tell anything.
That was your logic.
No, I think you should tell. I certainly think you should tell city council.
Then make it then have city council pass something that makes, like, mandatory, like weekly reports.
By the way, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Do you agree with that? Do you agree that the mayor should not tell?
I didn't say that he should not tell. I said,
well, that's what you just said.
I said, was he asked? And when he was asked,
he seemed a little hot this morning.
Because you're making it sound like I think that people just, like, no, the mayor should obviously talk. Transparency is good. Communication is key.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
So what are you disagreeing? You're saying, no, he should have to be asked.
Should he have to be? I don't know that he should or shouldn't have to be, but, like, again, I'm like,
I do. You shouldn't.
Okay.
I mean, any time, the things the citizens are concerned about, police and fire, absolutely. It's across the board, always number one. And when you start not filling positions, people are going to want to know about that. And you know that, especially if you're a former police chief.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But did he know up until now? Like,
well, yes, they're gone.
Well, I understand they're gone.
And the fire station. What's your logic for that one?
Well, they're broke.
No, no, that had been paused, and that was never announced, and would not have been, had it not come from a question from the audience. Why not tell that?
Probably because it wouldn't make people happy on that one.
Oh, it wouldn't make people happy. So just only tell them the things that are going to make them happy.
Well, no. I mean, that's not the reasoning. It's not good news.
Okay.
Put it in a press release. I don't know. Do something.
So?
There was a levy for that one. That's a little more reasonable.
So, when you are saying the city's fine, the city's fine, the city's fine, we can add this stuff, we can add this stuff, we can add this stuff, you shouldn't along the way say, you know, by the way, we've got less police officers, we've got less firefighters, fire stations on hold, a project on Prospect Street's on hold, multi-million dollar project. You shouldn't bring up any of that when the week before you were talking about how important it was for an economic development position.
I don't know. I mean, maybe the logic there is just an economic development director, as the name would state, should, in theory, bring in economic development, a.k.a. more money. So,
well, that's fine. But when you're trying to sell a position that's going to cost more money, you should not bring up the problems that you're having financially? The things you've lost?
They've known that they're...
No.
Since a lot, like...
You think they have,
but
they haven't.
When Jason Schauber was in charge of the finance committee, that man was always talking about how the city's going to be broke and about how there's going to be big
issues.
Do
you think they believed him, or every time it was brought up, did they poo-poo him and said, oh, no, that's not true at all?
Well, he was right.
Well, he was right, but again, that was not transparent on their behalf. And they knew if they had said some of these things, it would have made them look contradictory to what they were saying.
Okay.
So again, that's why you say it. If there's been many questions brought up about the city's finances, that's your time to say, you know, we're having some problems here.
Why couldn't the police chief bring it up in an open council meeting? He's always there. Why couldn't Chief Dean bring it up in an open council meeting? He's always there. Why'd they have to be specifically asked?
How often have you heard them speak up on anything?
Well, I figured, who else do you want to talk about? The police and the fire department? The police chief and the chief?
This is not about the police and the fire department. This is about the budget.
This all started with the police and the fire department.
Right, but this is a
conversation.
Listen, I'm sure the police and the fire department would like as many officers as they could get. This is a budgeting issue. Who went to them and said, don't fill those positions? I don't think they did that internally.
Okay. I mean, yeah, the city's broke. We have this understanding.
All right, again, phone lines are open. Does anybody have a different take on this? Please feel free to call in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 47 minutes past the hour. Getaway Friday here, November 21st, 2025. But again, the bigger question is, you know, is the city broke? I don't know. I can't say that because the budget's being reworked. Apparently, the term was tightening of the belts.
Well, you wouldn't have to tighten the belt if you had money.
Well, you don't have endless money.
Well, I understand that.
Do you think if you went up to Mayor Collins today and said, is the city broke, he's going to say, yeah?
I mean, probably not.
Oh, wonder why. Now, you seem to feel that way. You've said it several times this morning.
Well, I mean, we got about $5 million in savings, or investments, I think, is the better word to
maybe
use.
Maybe. Has anybody seen proof of that?
Well, I figure, isn't that the whole job of the auditor?
Well, apparently you got to ask. You got to go in there and ask these questions.
They do all the time. They beat the auditor over the head in the meetings sometimes. Now, they don't talk to Tommy all that much.
No, my question is, what's your explanation for Monday morning's meeting? $2 million divested out of the investments, and nobody on city council knew about that. Nobody even knew that meeting was happening. Now, should they have just asked? Hey, you going to have one meeting where you're going to divest $2 million? Let me know.
Well, no, because there's an understanding, or at least there was, I guess, an understanding that the Treasury Investment Board meetings were going to be held the same time, well, you know, either before or after.
Oh, how'd that happen then? How did that end up happening at a different time? Just so happens the meeting where they divested $2 million somehow got moved to another time, and nobody knew about it. Nobody from the media knew. Nobody from the public knew. Nobody from the media or the public attended. And even the two other members of the Finance Committee, Aaron Rollins and Ayers Ratliff, had no idea the meeting was even taking place. How'd that happen?
Yeah.
Got to ask questions, I guess. You got to go up somewhere and say, are you going to have a meeting out of whack here where you're going to do things like this?
No, I mean, you could ask why the meeting was, like, you know, held at 9 in the morning, and why there was no public notice, or if there was a public notice, where was it at? Because we were told there was a public notice.
Yeah. And did you get a sufficient answer on that?
No. They pawned it off to Martin Watts.
Who wasn't there. So there you go. So you believe everything's just clandestine and clear here?
Oh, no.
That's my point. Do you think there's any chance of them ever bringing up police and firefighters? You think there's any chance of them bringing up the fire department if nobody had asked about it? You think there's any chance of that ever coming up?
At some point it would have to come up.
Okay, so you want to wait till that point. You don't want to know when it happens. You just want to wait.
Well, I mean, I don't think it looks particularly, like, if you have to wait until you absolutely could not wait to tell people any longer, I mean, that looks bad on you, because then you're like, oh, how long have you known about this? Oh, you've known about it for X number?
Yeah, I think that happened Monday.
Okay, I agree.
Yeah, and I think, again, it is your obligation to tell people when you know it's happening.
Again, the police chief could have sent out an email to the mayor, the
city
council.
Who's the police chief's boss?
The mayor.
Who's the fire chief's boss?
The mayor.
There you go.
How hard is it to add it's not hard to add recipients to an email. I figure if it's going to be budget issues, I'd add the purse strings to the email.
Yeah. Why wasn't it done?
Okay, yeah. Why didn't the police chief and the fire chief add them along with the mayor?
I don't think the police and the fire chief made those decisions.
I understand.
So why didn't the mayor?
But at some point, they had to get in contact with the mayor, I would assume.
Well, it sounds to me more like the mayor got in contact with them and said, we're not filling these positions. I don't think they make those decisions.
I understand.
So,
but at some point, they had to let the mayor know that there were positions that needed filled.
Okay. So how hard is it for the mayor to add some emails to the list when he's sending the email saying we're not going to fill these positions?
I'm not the one who sent the email. Like, you want me to add? Okay. You could have just sent it to everybody originally.
Send what?
I don't know. Maybe unless they're like talking on the phone or something, I assume they're communicating via email.
Probably not. I bet these conversations happened in meetings.
Okay, then. I guess I don't know if it was like a public meeting, but there's records of a lot of meetings.
Okay. So you think it's the police chief and the fire chief's job to run down to the city council meeting and inform them that this is going on?
I don't really care who does it between the three of them.
Well, there's only one of them who's making the decision. And there's only one of them who's supposed to report to city council. And there's two of them that are city employees and one of them who's their boss.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, who do you think should be doing it?
I mean, they're all there.
That's not my question.
Any one of them. They all have the same information. I don't care who says the information. It's the same information, no matter who says it.
Right, but who should be informing people?
I guess the mayor.
There you go. So what's so hard to understand about this conversation? The problem is there has been no communication in the city government for a long time. Go ahead, caller.
Matt, honey, stop. You sound foolish. They have one boss. His name is King Welcome. They are not going to stand up in the middle of city council and say, we're losing police and we're losing fire. Anybody that should present that information should be the mayor. And if you think that the chief of police and the fire chief didn't make Collins aware that there were openings or vacancies in their departments. Well, come on now, Matt.
I never said that they didn't do that. As a matter of fact,
did Collins know that there were openings in the police department? Well, hell yes, he knew. Come on now, Matt. You don't think that the police chief went upstairs and said, hey, mayor, former police chief mayor, we got a couple openings down there. You think it was McDonald that just said, I overspend my budget every year, but I'm not going to fill these two positions this year out of fiscal responsibility.
Well, no, at some point I assume there was some kind of communication that had happened.
Right.
But if they all have the same information.
Email, they should have copied people on emails. They don't have these conversations in emails. Those are public records then, and people can ask for them. And when it comes down to it, the buck stops with the mayor. It is not up to the police chief and the fire chief to report to us. It is their job to report to the mayor, and it is the mayor's job to report to us. You're going around in circles, and you're using bad logic, so just stop.
And I would also like to say, don't you believe that at some point, people want to know this stuff? I mean,
well, hell yes, we do, and it's better to know that we might lose police now instead of one of them standing up in the city council one day and saying, oh, we got to cut 10 cops. Like, prepare us for the pain so we know it's coming.
You know, and I think a lot of this does happen in conversation or sidebars.
When you say we're having meetings with our department heads, how many times have we heard that? We're in meetings with our department heads. They're having meetings about how they slash their budget. Or don't.
I mean,
there's no surprises by any department head up there, or by the mayor, of what's going on in any department as far as staffing levels and all that other stuff goes. If there is, then we've got worse issues than we thought.
Well, I'm trying to play this through as to if the fire chief in an open city council meeting stood up without the mayor knowing that he was going to do that, and said, you know, council, I just want to let you know that we're not going to fill positions now at the behest of the mayor, but I wanted to let you know this.
No. Rarely do either chief say anything. So, but I'm going to Safety City graduation this morning, so you all have fun.
Have fun.
Enjoy your Friday.
Bye-bye. All right, there you go.
Safety City's still a thing.
Well, yeah.
Man, I went through that in, like, kindergarten.
We got an email here that it's sounding hostile this morning. I see, sometimes you sound a little hostile.
That's fine.
Well, I don't know if that's fine.
I'm okay with
it's hostile.
That's fine.
As we've determined, you're okay with everything.
Yeah, that's fine by me.
I don't know why you're getting hostile over this. Not really anything to do with us.
I understand.
Right. And that really was one of those things where the original question was never really answered.
What was the original question?
The original question is, with these things happening, where are you going to cut this money?
That's not my job.
Well, no, it's not your job, but it's a question.
Again, I'd have to look at the budget. I don't know where all the money's at. Cut the parks department. Cut 10 firemen. Cut 10 policemen.
Cut the parks department. I don't think that's going to go over very well.
The service and
go ahead, caller.
Budget director.
You remember the city council meeting, it was a year or so ago, when funding of economic development, et cetera, was happening. And the mayor boldly stood up and said that he knew more about city government than anybody else on council.
I don't recall that off the top of my head, but I'm not saying it didn't happen.
Yeah, well, I think it was one of the accents or the punctuation of that particular meeting. And if you go back through your records, wherever it's recorded, they don't even have Monday's agenda posted on their website yet. So,
where do you think the cuts are going to come from?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't know enough about it to make an intelligent statement about it. All I know is better get those bilge pumps working overtime, you know?
There we go. Thank you. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I would just hope that there's some obligation at some point by the CEO of the city to let people know, if nobody else, the council, what's going on in the city.
Yeah.
And I think the loss of firefighters, the loss of police officers, the pause of the fire station, the pause of projects on South Prospect, or Prospect Street in general, I guess, in the neighborhood of millions of dollars, would be things that you might want to let people know about.
When asked, they let people know.
Was it without having to ask a question? These might be things you just want to let people know about. When you make that decision, maybe you want to let the legislative body know, because they're voting on things without that knowledge.
Again,
if I'm voting
known
on
the state of the city's finances since Scott Schertzer was in office.
Okay, and how many things have they voted up since then?
But I'm not saying that was a good idea. They've known the state of the city's finances.
And what is the answer always given when they ask about the finances?
It was something like there's not a... We don't have a money problem, we have a cash flow problem.
Okay, so if that's true, then why are there less police officers? Why are there less firefighters? Why is the fire station on hold? Matter of fact, there was a whole big fire conversation, 2 months ago? I didn't hear anybody stand up in that conversation and say, you know, we're in danger of putting this on hold.
Well, I don't think they were in danger of putting it on hold at the time.
Oh, no, they've known for 2 years there was big problems in the city's finances.
Yeah, but again, I mean... In the last city council meeting, they talked about how they were going to get a bond to pay for the fire department, but they and we didn't have a bond rating, but they said that, believe it or not, the interest rate wouldn't have been that bad. They would have actually taken that, but now that we've sent in a thing to the state to determine whether we need to be on fiscal watch, warning, or emergency, we are not going to get that rate anymore. We are now bad lenders.
So why did this conversation never come up? The letter was, 2 or 3 weeks ago? Just got to wait to ask those questions, I guess?
I don't know when they talked to the dude, because the law director said that they had a conversation with whoever was going to give them whatever interest rate.
We're going to break. We'll be back.
Because I blew all my money. I won't say I blew it, but I owned the theater, and I owned the Jazz Supper Club, so